And aloha, welcome to the Maui Humane Society Show, and I am honored to have with us the brand new CEO for the Maui Humane Society, Steve McKinnon. Aloha.
Aloha to you, too. I got to get used to using these phrases here, but it's getting very comfortable.
Aloha, aloha, and aloha, right? And you and your wife, Diane, have moved here. You started November 4th.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Diane is still in Southern California. So
she's got to watch the dogs, huh?
Yeah, watch the dogs, and she's very jealous I'm already here.
You have six dogs?
Yes, I do. All rescues. They came into our homes in a number of different ways. Great stories, each one of them, but they're a great pack, and we love them.
So you were in San Diego?
Yes.
And worked there for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, San Diego Humane, about 5.5 years, yes.
Yeah, and you were part of the enforcement. With a background as in police, you were a chief for a while, right?
Yeah, I was a little bit different for a police officer that I moved around, six different agencies, four as chief of police. And I also worked internationally with the United Nations in policing. And my wife said it was time to come back to the States. So I looked around, and San Diego Humane was looking for a chief of humane law enforcement and also somebody to oversee all their activities that were out in the field.
And it's a huge, huge job. You know, Maui, we were talking about it because you'd actually lived in Martha's Vineyard and worked there for a while. And Maui's so unique, you know, as you know, and you have found. And we just love how the Maui Humane Society has continued to grow and grow and grow. And I mean, everyone's been so proud of the numbers and what they've been able to do to really help save so many pets' lives and to help with the spay and neutering. And when you came, what attracted you to come, besides the beauty of Maui, of course, but what attracted you to the Maui Humane Society?
Sure. Well, clearly the dividend was, it is Maui.
Yes.
But I did quite a bit of research when I was looking around for a Humane Society or a shelter that I could lead. And just like you say, they've been doing some really innovative stuff, some programs that are really exciting for the community, really helping out the animals, their Hope Fund that I'm sure you're aware of, where we get donations to the community to give specialized surgical procedures that wouldn't have been available to an animal. And just the way we adopt, that we really care about what's going on in the community. We have officers in the field that look for those issues. But I think everything that I looked at for Maui Humane was just something exciting. They're trying new things, and I really wanted to be part of that.
It continued to, you know, I look at the work they do, and then also the whole team of volunteers who just want to help and love animals so much. And they've gotten behind what's happening at the Maui Humane Society, because they've seen some of these innovations, the sleepover that happened.
Yes.
I'm sure you heard about
I've already been told I'll be sleeping soon, coming up.
It's coming in March, I think. Right around the corner. And, of course, you probably heard about the fur ball and how successful that event is.
Yeah. And they're already talking with plans about the next fur ball. I'm not going to release any of the details, but a really neat theme. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I really look forward to attending it as well.
But one of the big things that I've watched is really, of course, the way they've gone about education with spay and neutering. And it's so nice that they now have these special programs to help people who couldn't afford to spay and neuter the animals. And you've been all around the country, but you know what it's like. We're on an island, and it's not like the dogs can easily get off, except for the Wings of Aloha program,
right,
where they
mm-hmm.
literally fly them off the island. But there's issues here, you know, in any area where there's expensive homes, et cetera. A lot of them don't allow dogs, cats, and pets. So it's been heartbreaking to see how they've had to combat this problem of overpopulation with cats and dogs, right?
Yes. I agree with that. I think I'm sure a lot of your listeners know about the feral cat problems that are scattered all throughout the islands. And we're working with a number of different groups. We're actually bringing on a community cat coordinator, a CCC, if you will, that's going to try to pull all these ideas together. And you're absolutely right. Spay and neuter is one of those really major points to be able to make that all happen. We've gotten a lot of support from the county and from different foundations and grants to support that. And we're doing well over 6,000 spay and neuters every year.
Wow. I don't know if you've had this problem in Connecticut where you were or Martha's Island, but we have this rooster and chicken. Maybe when you walked in the building, you saw resident roosters and chickens, almost Safeway parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was huge up in El Valle. They've kind of been controlled there, but there are unique things that are here on Maui,
absolutely,
and the other islands. But I don't know if you're going to have that in a major city like Boston. But
no, but actually, it's funny that you mentioned that about the chickens. And I've already had community members approach me and said, "Can we do something?" And even the county has suggested, you know, maybe we should start doing a little bit of research. So I've just started to scratch the surface on that, and it's an issue clearly that the residents are concerned about as well as the county. There's some health issues and all. So I want to see what else is going on. You're right, Boston, San Diego really don't have those type of challenges. But I noticed it relatively the first day that I arrived, and the fact that I have people calling my office and asking what can Humane Society do. Those are the reasons why we want to participate and be supportive of trying to solve that problem. So we're going to do a little bit of research and approach some national organizations to see if they have guidance, and we'll see what we can do.
So when you came here, what was in your mind, and what has kind of been over the month and just your research, have you found that's going to be some of the focus of what you need to attend to here as the new CEO of the Maui Humane Society?
I think in talking to the staff and some of the community members and even our board, I've been using this first month or two just to kind of learn, ask questions. Why do we do it this way versus that way? And what we plan on doing is in January, we're going to pull the whole staff together, close the shelter for a day, and do that planning. What does it look like for the next year? And really get all the staff involved, get the board members to contribute, and what I've been hearing from the community, incorporate that. So I think you're going to see a number of things happening. Definitely, we want to focus a lot on the community cat issues, and we want to be able to develop just programs that we get more involved in the community. You had mentioned earlier about, you know, the fact that, yeah, we are in an expensive area, and a lot of landlords are maybe reluctant to rent to somebody who has animals. Well, we just got some granting that is going to allow us to do twofold. One is to educate the community why maybe pet owners are actually maybe more responsible renters, and we ought to be able to educate that. So we're working on some PSAs to be able to put out to walk people through that. So, and that's been true of just about every community where there's a reluctance to allow animals in their homes. So we want to work on some of the myths and be able to break that down. So I think you're going to see a lot of new programs. We want to get into the schools more. We want to do more education in the community. So all that while we're just providing really good services to the animals in the community.
I know you've had some background working with the veterans, and there's been amazing work that's been done with animals and veterans and seniors and others, even in hospitals. And there's been just amazing work done. I heard you had reached out already to some of the people who are volunteers who are veterans here.
Yes. First of all, we couldn't have operated Maui Humane without the volunteers. And if people are interested listening to your show and they'd like to get involved, visit our website, MauiHumaneSociety.org. It walks you the whole process. We'd love to get more volunteers. We have veteran services, senior citizen services, and something really exciting. Just very recently, there's a new group just being formed called Pets for Vets, which are they're going to work very closely with us in identifying possible adoptees in our shelter that could be trained properly and work with the vets in the community, disabled or ones that just need that extra little bit of love, and I think we'd be able to do that. So we're very excited. They're just barely starting up, but we're very supportive of that effort. So, yeah, you're going to see all these types of programs out there, and I think we're really anxious to get them out in the community.
It is truly amazing when I've been hearing stories of folks who've come back from serving and how a pet can make a difference in their life. And
absolutely.
And it seems so simple when you look at it from that point, but nothing's really simple when you're a vet. but a pet can relate and doesn't have to talk, but is there with that unconditional love and can make such a difference in not just vets, but as we say, seniors and other people's
absolutely,
lives.
Yes.
And of course, some seniors can't afford or can't be allowed to have in their living situation a pet, but there have been wonderful things done when the pets go into Hollymacore or other places, and they've proven that it improves their mood, that it helps them, that mm-hmm. it helps their health.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fascinating thing is how intuitive these pets are, where they can be trained to look at their owner and detect if they're getting a little bit stressed. Mm-hmm. And they can take actions of simply just putting their head on their lap. and looking for that attention, to refocus that person, to show that love and to give back that love to that pet. I mean, they're amazing, amazing creatures. Like I said before we started the show, I don't think people appreciate how smart they are. And just to kind of take all that in. So that's why we encourage them to be part of families. They really become family members.
Yeah, I think of them as our little guardians because they just give so much love. And we were talking about Nancy Willis, who's marketing, does PR, and you know how she comes in and she has that lovely dog, Lulu. And of course, I want to let people know that the new calendars are out and Lulu is in there.
No surprise there.
Some other dogs you might know in the neighborhood. But she took in this dog that was abandoned out at Nihiku called George.
Yeah.
And I saw the picture when she was here last month that she showed me the picture of George, and it was skin and bones. He looked so miserable, so sad. I mean, really just like the saddest dog.
Yeah, you could see the sadness in his eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And he was really just a puppy. We guess about 6 or 7 months. So 6 or 7 months should be bounding around and having a great old time. And this guy just sat there, had mange over much of his body, so, you know, red skin. I just felt for him. And I think anybody who looked at him, on our website, you just understand what this little guy went through.
And in just the time that she's fostered him, there's been a miraculous difference. I mean, you wouldn't really recognize the dog in just these few short weeks, the dog he is now versus the dog he was.
Yep. Nancy brings him in every day with Lulu. And just day by day, you see the change. I just saw him heading over here to the studio, and he was perky. He was wagging his tail, kind of bounding around a little bit in the grass outside. It's just such a change in that short period of time. That's why we love to have volunteers. That's where you might even consider people getting involved in fostering, where you take these animals who've had a really tough life up to this point and show them, rather than keeping them in a kennel, to have them in a person's home so they understand, I'm allowed to sleep on a little dog bed, that I can interact people and, you know, they don't get scolded or swatted, things like that, that this is a really great family. And, you know, we encourage people to maybe look at that as a possibility to get involved.
Well, and you make it so easy there at the Maui Humane Society to foster. And again, this is a win because a lot of people aren't allowed to have regular pets, but if you can do short term,
sure,
even though you love dogs and you can't have one, you can go and foster a pet, and you make it easy because you give that person who's fostering everything they need, so it doesn't have to cost a lot. You give them the food, you give them everything you need to make it easy to foster, and that fostering can make a difference. I was blown away by that really almost hugely successful situation where people who visit or want to take a dog like to the beach or take a dog out for a day has become so popular. I think there was a video of someone who came and took the dog from the Humane Society to the beach for the day, and it went viral, you know, and then everyone wants to come and take a dog for a day, right?
Yeah, we have so many requests for the Beach Buddies program. We have to almost put a little bit of controls on it. We encourage people to let us know a month in advance when they know they're coming to make sure that we're able to help them. I think a lot of people think, I want to do that, arrive on Maui for their week's vacation and call us up, and then they're disappointed. So we really encouraged that because it is so popular. And it's great for the dogs to get out of their kennels. We do them on walks and things like that during the day, but to get them out for a full day, to bound around in the surf or go hike in the mountains, I mean, that is just so therapeutical for them. And when they come back, of course, they're exhausted and they go crash on their bed, but you know that's a happy sleep they have.
And that's such a gift to see that happiness. And you can tell when a dog has that happiness, and they deserve to be happy. And it's so sad when you see dogs that should have homes or cats that should have homes.
Yes.
And they don't. And that's where the goodness of this community came in. I'm sure you heard about Oprah Winfrey doing a donation after that terrible fire. And I think there's probably got to be a lot of people who kind of wondering how much more can we take before we have to expand, because it's usually always full there. There have been any plans at all for expanding the buildings and the structures there to be able to handle more?
Sure. Well, actually, that was a big focus of the board when they were looking for a new CEO, is that that's kind of one of the tasks that they said they want me to work on. And I'd have to agree with them now that I've been a little bit of time in the shelter. They've done great work in the past 5 years of cleaning it up, repainting it, repurposing the kennels and all, but we're absolutely maxed out. If you go into the offices where we have literally two or three people working in a cubicle that's smaller than your studio here, that's not conducive to being able to do good work. Supervisors don't have a chance to be able to sit down and talk with an employee quietly, to make telephone calls. It's a real problem there. So we're looking at a number of options. Just met with the board last week, and we're going to probably do kind of a master plan within the next few weeks or a month or so to say, where do we want to go? How do we want to make this work? And once we have a good, strong plan in place, then we can approach the community to get support. And we think that we can really do some great work and take that, our whole activities to the next level.
Well, it definitely would be a huge, huge, huge benefit to have more space out there. I don't know what the land mass that you have goes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's always the permits. And there's always and that can be the most challenging part, mm-hmm. even for people who have the money already to get the permits to do
what you need.
But at least there's already the relationship there with the government and the people who very well know the need for making that possible.
Absolutely. And we want it to be much more of a community center that we'd love to have, you know, be able to design a dog park or two into the hot process. Have a good community room that other groups can come and use our community room for meetings, things like that. So we really have an awful lot of vision. I mean, we're talking about the possibility of having a food kitchen for pets. You know, have enough space to be able to store food that if people are on hard luck, they've lost their job and they're thinking about giving up their pet, well, maybe they won't have to if we can just kind of support them for a couple months with food.
Wow, like a food bank for animals.
There you go. Absolutely. So we see the need, and talking to the staff, I've heard that. I've seen that when I was in San Diego Humane. We did that.
Was it an issue there too? Just
very
expensive.
Much so. Very much so with the homeless and just people who are down on their luck, or you know, also senior citizens that may be homebound and all, to be able to make that connection. So I really see that that's something that we want to work on. That's something that kind of will identify for goals and objectives that we want to be able to develop such a program.
I think that's a fantastic dream. I mean, these are wonderful things, and you got to have a dream if you want to make a dream come true. And that's,
absolutely.
You know, and I have to say there is a core of people here that really do want to help. And I think you'll find that that Maui is a very, very giving community.
Yeah. I already sense that. They've been very welcoming to me arriving, lots of good input, lots of ideas, questions. But the main thing is it's like they've opened their doors to the home and clearly to the shelter. The staff's been great to me. You know, they might roll their eyes a little bit because I'm asking so many questions, but it's for me to understand a little bit how they're doing that. And hopefully I can bring my experiences to them and we'll just get better and better.
Have you met Fred, the turtle, the tortoise?
Fred, very first day, I took a second look, and he's very popular. I love watching the kids and actually the parents coming through when they're looking for a dog or cat. They stop, and they're just fascinated by Fred. So he has a great following, that's for sure.
And I have to say, there's a wonderful newsletter which keeps people posted on all these different activities, because basically what I've seen happen is there's different things different people like to back, like The Wings of Aloha project. What an amazing gift that's been, to be able to find homes for pets, because it's so hard with the limited access of people who can have a pet here. But that's really literally taken off, and there's people who get 100% behind the fact that, wow, there's someone out there on the mainland that wants this dog here.
It's amazing.
It is. It's
I think that the fact that they're coming from Maui, I think you see adopters step forward because they love to have that story to be able to tell their friends, oh, yeah, this one's from Maui there, and here's the story. I think that's really neat. But, yeah, and Wings of Aloha, we have a supervisor that oversees it, but it's all volunteer run. So
I didn't know it was all volunteer run, because it's a lot of work to get that dog out there
It is, and, you know, patients, they run them out. And I've gone with the volunteers just to see how they do that, and they go out and work with the cargo people with Hawaiian and Alaska primarily, those two airlines, and they give us really great rates, but it's also from donations to make it work. There's no way we'd be able to adopt out that many without having such a program in place.
And it's been so successful. I mean, it really has been. And there's been so many creative ways for, and I've seen over the last 10 years, 5, 10 years, of these events that people can get behind, you know.
Sure.
And thinking outside the box has seemed to really, really, really work. And then there's also, like you say, the education that is so key. Where does the education do you see going? Because education is so important, even about spay and neutering, and also how to take care of these pets, etc.
One thing I've seen a lot of is if you do education in the schools, specifically about spay and neuter, and you talk to the kids, and it can be any range all the way up to high school age, and you talk about those challenges and give it a little education about if you don't spay and neuter, how this impacts the whole community. Very often, they'll go home and ask their mom and dad, you know, is our pet spay or neutered? And sometimes, they take that education back and, the parents may be pushed into it. So I think, again, just to educate people about it, a lot of people say, oh, I didn't know that Maui Humane did that. So we have to get the word out, and that's what we hope to be able to do wherever we can.
One of the hardest things, I think, to educate people about, because I like going out walking, and I walk in, EO and up country on trails. For the life of me, and I used to try to educate people on the trail about how they're supposed to keep the dog on the leash. And you want to see Aloha go out the window, all you have to say is, you know, that dog should be on a leash.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. People, now my dog's really friendly.
And they insist that, but, you can't control it if they see another dog that's a little bit aggressive on the leash. And there's a behavior issue of when a dog is on a leash, he feels a little bit threatened if somebody's off a leash because they don't feel that free to be able to protect themselves. So, even though you have the friendliest dog in the world, if they're rambunctious, they could accidentally knock over a little child. So you really have to take that responsibility. It's a big responsibility, and people forget that this is a 10 to 15-year responsibility, too.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. And that brings up in our last few minutes here about the senior program. I mean, one perfect example of getting a senior dog, and I heard Warren Eckstein talking about this on his last show, is how important it is. Senior dogs don't get as easily taken home because they're older. People want young dogs and puppies, but they forget the value of a senior dog. Lulu is a perfect example.
Yep.
I think she was 12 when Nancy got Lulu.
Yeah, and I think she's 15 now.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple seniors at home, and I got to tell you that, if you're thinking about adopting a dog, maybe look at a senior cat or dog. They already have their habits. They already have, obviously, housebroken and all, but they're a little more easygoing. They still have a lot of energy. They still have a lot of personality and affection. So my seniors at home, they're great. And they maybe sleep a little bit longer than the other ones, but that's okay too. So if it fits your lifestyle, maybe give that a thought. Talk to our counselors at Maui Humane and ask to see maybe the ones that are a little bit older because they have that personality and they really could be a great addition.
And they deserve the love.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've given their life loving people and sometimes they're taken in by people who don't want to have to deal with them when they get older.
Yeah.
And it's just like you don't turn in like a car because you want the new model. And it's like, don't do that to a loving animal by turning them in, So there's a lot of appreciation that I've seen that's happening. And I know people are so excited to have you here. I know they're leaving out the welcome mat for you.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to be here. It's been great.
Well, and again, this is a special position, a special place, and there's a lot of love for the community and also for the animals. And that's why it's such an important job. Very different than other jobs.
very different than any other
nonprofit, But there's a board of directors and people who care so much who are behind this whole thing. And so that was why Nancy said, hey, would you like to interview Steve? And I said, yeah, sure, because you know what? It's like we want the community to embrace you and know your voice. Maybe they'll hear you.
There you go. Yeah.
And get to know you. And I know you're going to be out there at some of these events too soon. But
absolutely.
People can meet you online because if they go to the MauiHumaneSociety.org, there's lots of stuff going on that I always recommend it. It's always new stuff happening up there.
Yeah.
There's always exciting events
coming
up.
Follow us on Facebook,
Facebook is also good, absolutely. Yeah. And don't forget, those calendars sell out. So go out and get your calendar. I think you have to go down to the Humane Society to get them, but it's well worth getting a beautiful calendar. I have one, and I keep it. In fact, we have a few people here who have them and keep them. And it's our way, again, of remembering every time we look at that calendar.
all
the wonderful things that are going on and being done by the Maui Humane Society. So you can go to mauihumanesociety.org, and you can stop in and take advantage of all the wonderful programs. Wish them a Merry Christmas.
Maybe
think about making a donation.
Sure.
As a Christmas gift. Yeah. There's a tree down there, I think, actually.
There's a tree, and there's actually stockings at each one of the kennels where you can put things in for the pups and cats.
Well, that's wonderful. Thanks so much for taking the time to come down, Steve.
Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
A big, big aloha to you, and thank you, everyone, for listening.